So the reading today is from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this not so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jason, for that reading. Good morning. I do hope that you can see this small book. It's a New Testament. Nothing unusual about that, you might say, except that this New Testament is over 80 years old. It's one of hundreds of thousands given to members of our armed forces in the Second World War. And on the inside, there's a message from His late Majesty, King George VI. And the words are on the screen. He said, the King wrote, to all serving in my forces by sea or land or in the air, and indeed to all my people engaged in the defence of the realm, I commend the reading of this book. For centuries, the Bible has been a wholesome and strengthening influence in our national life, and it behoves us in these momentous days to turn with renewed faith to this divine source of comfort and inspiration. How true. I bought this New Testament in a charity shop a few years ago, so I've got no idea who first owned it or whether they found it to be a wholesome and strengthening influence, as the King said. I hope they read it and were blessed as they came to know the love of Jesus Christ for them in a personal way, and particularly if they made a personal sacrifice of some kind in the defence of the realm. The word sacrifice is found about 350 times in the Bible, I'm told, and it's a word that is used very much, of course, on this Remembrance Sunday, and rightly so. There's a few kinds of sacrifice we might remember, especially today, and firstly, let's remember the sacrifice of others in the cause of freedom. And we recall that Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And they certainly did lay down their lives, didn't they, in two world wars. During World War I alone, over 880,000 British soldiers died in the war to end wars, as it was called. But 21 years later, it all started again with the outbreak of World War II. And since then, our servicemen and women have been involved in conflict after conflict. Amongst them, we've seen conflicts in India, Palestine, Malaya, Korea, the Suez Canal Zone, Kenya, Cyprus, Borneo, Aden, Radfan, Oman, Dhofar, Northern Ireland, the Falklands War, the Gulf War, Bosnia, Kosovo, Sierra Leone, Iraq, and finally, of course, Afghanistan. According to the Ministry of Defence website, over 7,100 servicemen and women have lost their lives, either in what they call medal-earning theatres since World War II, and we do well to remember them. So, will there always be wars? Will wars never come to an end? Well, it's important to pray for peace, which means praying for our national leaders, indeed, rulers around the world. But the Bible warns us that we will never bring about a complete end to wars and conflicts. It's quite realistic. The end will only happen when Jesus comes again to establish his kingdom of peace and justice. In fact, Jesus warned his disciples to expect conflict by saying this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. He said, "You'll hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of birth pangs." The birth pain before a new world. So why is this? Why so much war? Well, the heart of the problem is our hearts. Ultimately, war originates from within the hearts and minds of ordinary people like us. You know, pride, greed, envy, jealousy, lust for power, all these things can lead to wars and conflicts. And so, unfortunately, it's the case that, sadly, the seed of war is in all of us. Again, the Bible says this: "What causes wars and what causes fighting among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? You desire and do not have, and so you kill, and you covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and wage war. You do not have, because you do not ask, and ask God." Well, fortunately, there is some good news, because there is actually hope for all mankind. And this brings us to the second thing to remember this day. And that is that we need to remember the sacrifice of Jesus for our salvation. John wrote in his first letter, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You know, when Jesus walked this earth, he became a man with a mission. He became a bit like a soldier serving in enemy-occupied territory. Everywhere he went, there he faced opposition from the enemy, that is, Satan. And so whilst many people marvelled at his teaching, were amazed by his miracles, others criticised him and plotted against him. They fought him, not with physical weapons, but with their words. Eventually he was arrested, and following a complete miscarriage of justice, Jesus was crucified. And like, you know, many of the young men that we are remembering today, Jesus himself was crucified at the hands of foreign soldiers. But what did his death achieve? Was it a needless, pointless death, like, say, the death of so many young men in the First World War? Was the sacrifice of Jesus a grisly end, or was there more to it? What possible difference could the sacrifice of Jesus make to us today? Well, the other day I saw a painting in a regimental museum depicting a soldier lying dead on a battlefield. He was a signaller, and in his last minutes he managed to join together two pieces of wire. It was an important communication link that had been broken. There, in his last moments, he made that reconnection. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it was to connect us, if you like, to reconnect us with God. Because all that is wrong in our lives has broken the relationship with God. But Jesus paid the price for it. He died in our place. His sacrifice paid the price for sin, leaving us free to come to God. And, you know, there's never been a death, never been a sacrifice like the one that Jesus made. It led to a lasting peace with God. And that is so important. And through that, we can also have peace in our hearts, despite all that's going on in the world around us today. Unlike the peace that's often won in war but doesn't seem to last, the peace that Jesus won is everlasting. And so today we rightly remember the sacrifice of others in the cause of freedom. And we remember the sacrifice of Jesus for our salvation. And lastly, let's remember that we are to be what's called a living sacrifice. St. Paul once wrote, "So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him." This is the true worship that we should offer. And so our response to the sacrifice of Jesus is to become a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means to give ourselves completely to God, body, soul, and spirit, in his service, and in consequence to serve others. And didn't we all have an outstanding example in the life of Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II? As a teenage princess, she served in World War II as an army mechanic, and she really did get her hands dirty. No gloves for her back then. As our queen, she spent 70 years in the service of this country, and she felt it her calling as a Christian to do so. She served God all her life. So what about you and me? Did you know that you have been called up to serve the King of Kings, Jesus? You know, there's something special that God has called you to do, and in fact, only you can do. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. If you don't know what it is, what you're called to do, then please speak to somebody afterwards, either myself or David or somebody in our ministry team. You know, sacrifices in war often lead to death, but a living sacrifice actually does the opposite. It leads to life. It leads to living a life with meaning, and it gives us a very strong sense of satisfaction, as opposed to the emptiness that follows living for ourselves. And that's one reason why the Bible tells us that it's better to give than to receive. So today, we remember those who gave everything, and we remember also Jesus, who gave everything. But what are you and I willing to give in the service of God and each other? I'll leave you with that thought amongst the many thoughts that will arise this morning.